And to chat about it all, we're joined now by James Duthie from TSN here on the Maple Toyota Hotline on a Thanksgiving Monday. How nice of you to do this. Thank you, James.
Only because I'm promoting a book and a podcast.
Well, that's true. Go ahead. Give us your plugs. Give us your plugs.
No, I could do that later. I'm just kidding. Okay. I think that's what the mauler used to lure me into the hit, though. He's like, hey, nobody else is willing to do this on Monday. Are you available? And he's like, hey, you can plug your book and your podcast. And
I think you just wanted to weigh in on the Clifford Engvall debate.
Yeah, it's the hot topic in the city right now.
I couldn't wait for that. I would say this on Clifford. I think you guys are right. It was kind of underwhelming with the Leafs, but maybe what you wanted Clifford for, you didn't get to that point, like that you got later in the playoffs. And I think of Corey Perry, who really didn't do much during the regular season for Dallas, but it got to those last couple of rounds and suddenly, and not that Kyle Clifford was going to score game-winning goals and do what Perry did, but you know what I'm saying, in the role he was in, you know, as the playoffs got later, he might have become more valuable, and we never got to really see that, perhaps. And sounds like I'm making excuses for Kyle Clifford, but I would say that's a possibility.
Well, you were at the desk on Friday, and I'm sure tracking stuff throughout the weekend. Has there been enough frenzy for you?
Did I call Grappler the Mauler?
Yeah, you called Grappler the Mauler. Let that slide, because you're an author and podcast host.
I've done that. I think when we were golfing with O-Dog at Weston, I kept calling him Mauler. I'd be like, great drive, Mauler. And poor Grappler would just look at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Please call me by my appropriately named nickname, the Grappler.
But Mauler and Grappler are pretty close. And Mauler is a typical radio nickname. Like, I think there's a Winnipeg guy, the Mauler, and there's a bunch of Maulers. And so Mauler comes into my head, even though I know he's the Grappler.
Mauler's a stereotype or a typecast in the radio game. The
Grappler's very more original.
Very original.
Yeah.
So which signing or trade over the past 72 hours has kind of stunned you the most?
Well, if I answer anything with Taylor Hall, Buffalo.
Right.
I did not, if you'd have given me a list, or let's say we were having some fun killing some radio time and said make a list of 20 teams, I don't think that Buffalo would have been in the top 20 that I would have thought. Having said all that, I don't think it's crazy. Like, I don't think it's a pure money grab or any, like some people are calling it. I think that the money matters in a situation like this when there's going to be big escrow and everything, and that's probably maybe the premier reason. But the one thing I would say is that don't you feel like in the last decade or so, in the old days, if you signed with a team, you knew who the contenders were, and you knew who the non-contenders were. It was very obvious. And the one thing I think about today's game is that, yes, you know, Tampa and Vegas are probably going to be good next year, but teams can get good real fast and can get bad real fast. And I think it's harder and harder for free agents to identify if you want to win a cup. You know, outside of a couple of teams, like it's a harder choice to make, and that Buffalo could, you know, elevate fairly quickly. I don't think so, but I mean, I think that's a possibility this year. So I don't think you go and say Taylor Hall's insane. You know, Buffalo's got no chance. There's probably 20 teams in the league that maybe they have an equal chance to of getting better. I just figured if I was him, I don't know what Colorado offered. Maybe that hasn't snuck out, has it?
No, I haven't seen that, no.
You know, that's where I would have put them. If you're going to sign a one-year contract, I would have said Colorado, Vegas, you know, right at the top of the list sort of thing, if they would have made it happen. In particular, I thought it was going to be Colorado on a one-year deal for sure, because to play with, you know, MacKinnon and Makar and as some people said, he probably would have maybe played with Nazem Kadri. that would have made much more sense. But, you know, I don't think people should say, oh, Taylor Hall's an insane or a money grabber just because he does that.
I don't blame
Buffalo for signing him, right? Like, some people are like, oh, you're being used by Taylor Hall. So what?
Exactly.
I think it's a great move by the Sabres.
They needed to do something like that. And if it gets Jack Eichel fired up and going, then why not? And if he leaves them, you know, fine. You got a year and it did something for you. I don't have any problem with the Sabres doing it. It's just I'd heard a lot of maybe it was just from buddies texting me saying, what the hell is Taylor Hall thinking? And I'm like, what are you going to do?
Would you guys, if it's a difference, let's say it's $2 million, wouldn't you rather have the $2 million and just play there for a year? Like, if it's a team that has a little a much better chance, let's say Colorado, of winning the Cup, wouldn't you still rather have the extra money? I don't know.
It depends. I mean, here's the thing I would say. By all accounts, Taylor walked away from an 8-year deal at $10 million a year in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So that's $80 million. By all accounts, he walked away from a $9 million a year in Arizona times 8. There's $72 million. So if it was all about money, don't you think he would have just signed that? And let's not forget, he's made $50 million in his career already. And so like he's not struggling for money. It's more about, I think he's looking at what is the right fit. I don't know where. I think Ralph Kruger sold to him that you're going to play with Jack Eichel, who's one of the premier players in this league. And you know what? We'll see if it's a right fit. Like, I think sneakily, I was texting with Brian and O last night, like, Buffalo's at least put themselves into the conversation for playoffs next year. That's not Stanley Cup contending, but it's like, hey, with that top six, they added Eric Staal under the radar. They added Cody Eakin under the radar at 2 years at $2 million. Like, that Dylan Cousins is coming.
Isn't Rasmus Dahlin at some point here going to become a star? Isn't that going to happen at some point?
Yeah. I agree. And I
if
like
Skinner
the goalie.
Skinner plays with a pulse. Then...
Exactly. Like, yeah. Skinner's making $9 million a year, and he was skating all over his lip last year because he didn't play with Eichel a ton. And, like, I like their goalie, Ullmark. I think he's a really good goalie in the making. Like, you could wake up one day and go, you know what, Buffalo's not that bad of a team. Like, Reinhardt's a really good player. Like, that Olofsson had a fantastic year. I think he was close to 30 goals as a rookie. Like, you know what, they've got the shapings of some good things there. He may have taken a look at that and said, you know, it's not a bad option for me on a short-term deal if it doesn't work out. And maybe ask to be traded at the deadline if things go south. Like, he at least left the door open. That's what I would say.
If it doesn't work out team-wise, it still could work out individually that he could have a big year with Eichel and open
Correct.
The door to sign somewhere that he would like to be long-term at bigger money. I do feel it's wrong to feel sorry, I know, for millionaires and such, but I do feel sorry for this year's crop of free agents when you wait for your one opportunity and it sort of comes in this kind of year. Again, sympathy on a scale, right? Sympathy on a scale in comparison with other free agents in other years, not sympathy compared to the rest of the people in the world, but it would suck to wait for this day and think you're going to get this massive deal and then suddenly everybody's got to pinch their pennies.
With James Duthie, yeah, it seems like there's going to be a lot that gets reported on and a lot more that we hear in terms of Taylor Hall in particular. I wouldn't be shocked if he was just getting lowballed around the league because, mm-hmm. you know, he won that Hart Trophy 3 years ago, and he didn't look great in Arizona. He was okay. He didn't look great. So there may have been teams squeezing him. I feel like Pietrangelo might be getting squeezed here. I don't know what his contract's going to look like. We all assume it's in Vegas, but I don't know what they're going to offer him. I don't know what he's going to take, and I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know that
it's
going to be the nine times seven or something.
No,
that people think.
I don't think it will be. I don't think it should be. If you're Vegas, why would you do that? Why would you read the tea leaves and say we're still going to overpay?
Yeah.
When everyone else is pulling back, you know.
Yeah, it may be somewhere in the seven or something like that range, right? It's a weird, weird market. And it was just such a strange day. And, you know, you guys were both sitting right behind me there. It was, yeah. I'm so used to, I can't remember the first one. I think the first one of these we ever did. The free agent frenzy was Bob McKenzie's idea. And hey, I forever blame him for ruining Canada Days for me. But in many ways, we should have been doing it before a trade deadline because it is the more impactful day usually on the league than trade deadline. Free agent frenzy has long-term impact on multiple franchises, where trade deadline, you know, maybe one or two or three has a significant impact on when you look back at it. And I believe it was the first one we ever did that was the year it was like Chris Drury, and maybe I'm throwing a couple of years together, but like Chris Drury got a huge deal and Brian Campbell got that big Chicago, was it Chicago deal when he signed? And it was just, there was this massive money. I think Danny Briere, maybe these weren't the same years, but it was all in those days. And it was just like that was, you know, $60 million, 7 years and 8 years and $60 million everywhere. It was like $300 million in the first hour or something. And it was so strange to sit there the other day and watch these 1 year, 1.1, 2 years, 800,000 each year, just one after the other, after the other. And I think it was when Radko Gudas signed for, you know, 2.5 or whatever. That was the biggest deal of the day. And it felt like a bonanza for Radko Gudas, like he was the richest guy on the planet. It was weird.
Yeah, I, you know what, getting back to this Pietrangelo, I just wanted you guys to weigh in on this. Something still doesn't smell right, even from the St. Louis angle. Like, I thought Pietrangelo's on record being like, yeah, the signing of Torey Krug surprised me. It came out of nowhere. Like, it was almost like Pietrangelo, they'd left the door open, and then they were like, ah, to hell with you, I'm going, like, we're signing right. Krug and giving him a no move and 7 a year or whatever it was. Like, something is not, there's a disconnect. Because I'm not reading, and again, we're not privy to the information, but it's just Alex Pietrangelo's comments alone. I thought I read it in The Athletic. Jonas, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was Jeremy Rutherford.
Yeah, Jeremy wrote that really surprised me. So it was almost like Doug Armstrong was reaching out to his camp going, yeah, you know, we still got the door open here. Oh, by the way, I just signed this guy.
Well, but isn't it musical chairs? Like if you're Doug Armstrong, you can only wait, and then suddenly no one else is out there.
I agree. I'm not saying it just.
Yeah, it's
the
weird.
Something doesn't jive.
Well, because to James' point and Brian's point, like who else is left? If you don't want to sign in Vegas, what do you do?
Right.
I think to Noodle's point, though, it feels like in a situation with a player like this, and I agree with you, Noodles, that the whole thing has felt weird. I know that it's a cold business now, but it the whole thing has felt strange with this guy who's been such a. Warrior for that team and wins a Stanley Cup and heart and soul of that team. The whole, somewhere along the way, things went south there that I can't quite figure out. Because at worst, if he was really caught off guard, at worst, do you not, if you're about to sign Torey Krug, do you not maybe make one phone call and say, hey, just so you know, in 10 minutes we're going to sign Torey Krug. You know, we still...
You have 10 minutes to decide.
Yeah, we have an offer. It feels strange that they would just go and do that, unless, you know, that it's, like I said, Armstrong has been in hockey a long time, and he's pretty serious, just get business done and take the emotion out of it, I suppose.
I think it got personal, or it seems personal there. Like, that's the only thing. Like, everything else, I get it. You know, I always say this, managers have to be a sociopath. They have to, like, think of the business, not the emotions. Torey Krug comes out when he signs in St. Louis, is like, yeah, they pulled the offer on me. I don't know if you guys saw that. Boston pulled the offer on him.
Yep.
So he's like, I didn't, you know, I wanted to go back there and at least tell them, hey, I got this. Don't worry. Like, it's gone. So
I wonder if it's almost like the agents have kind of run these days for a long time. And the big boys with the big clients, they play the game beautifully, and that's why they are employed. That's why they have the high-end talent. Yeah. I wonder if it was a day of reckoning for some of them from the GMs. Who are like, actually, like I'm being serious now. I don't have flexibility. Don't call me back. Don't ask for more. I know the game you're playing, but actually we're going to go here and we're going to do something different. And I am fascinated by what Pietrangelo is going to sign for. It's got to be at least what St. Louis offered, I would think. It's definitely got to be more than what Torey Krug got, and Krug got a good deal in this economy when you consider what it is, because he's still out there, and he's clearly the best player. Like, even the Leafs, and maybe he was never coming back here or was never going to come here, but the Leafs jump on. They handed out $6 million in contracts to a defenseman in Brody and Bogosian.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right? You're telling me if he signs for seven, let's say, or 7.5, the Leafs couldn't make that work? Like, instead of Brody, Bogosian, and you ship Hall out, you wouldn't prefer Pietrangelo?
But that's the market changing. Like, to James's point, I wonder if it dates back to Justin Falk, when they give him that extension, before I think he even played a game for them after they made the trade with Carolina. If I'm Alex Pietrangelo, I'm saying you gave Justin Falk, what was it, 6.5 by 7?
Yeah.
And you don't want to give me like 8.5, 9? I just won you a cup?
I'm sure that's a big part of what happened there. But now he's out, right? And St. Louis has moved on. And he's
I feel like that Falk one was weird, too, from the Blues' perspective, knowing what they had ahead with Pietrangelo and Parayko. And I just, I don't know. That's weird.
What do you make of Vancouver before we let you go? The Jim Benning is just a pinata in the market right now. He is getting destroyed.
I don't know, at least in my recent memory, a team that's gone from such warm, fuzzy, rainbows, lollipops, unicorns feeling in the marketplace after their run in the playoffs to this level of, as you say, pinata for the GM over such a quick span. Like, it's just been, and I don't know that maybe this was their plan, obviously. I guess to an extent that they must have planned for this, I suppose, the possibility of all these guys leaving. But that Toffoli deal is not, like, that's fairly reasonable, isn't it? For a guy that
20 goals.
Yeah, and plays really well with your best guys. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know what their offer was to him. Maybe that's a misread of the market on their part. But to lose all of those guys, I mean, I think they thought they were losing Tanev. And I guess, you know, they moved quickly to replace Markstrom, knowing they weren't going to get him. And Holtby was, as Jamie said on the day, is a pretty good fit. And if you know you're going to lose Markstrom. But to suddenly kind of lose everybody like that you had a shot at and don't really make any significant signings is... That's a big loss. That's a huge L.
Yeah. Even Stetcher wasn't a big contract in Detroit. No. He got 2 years at like 175 or something.
Yeah, I think it was 2x2, but yeah, broken up. Yeah. Like, yeah. And he's a nice player, but he's farther down, but it's just.
Yeah. But still, you know, your guy, right? You groomed him, and it's like, okay. Guy, like, if you're going to lose
well
everyone
for
else.
You that knows your city and, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah, Vancouver, they are scrambling.
Well, the hashtag Markstrom. Fire Benning is trending in Canada. Like,
lose your number one goalie, your top pairing defenseman, and your second line right winger that you paid a pretty decent price for at the deadline.
That's the thing that people are they paid a lot for him at the deadline, thinking that he would extend. And then the money's not there. And then they qualified Vertanen. Vertanen's the wild card in all of this because he's finally taken a step as a player, but he's wildly, wildly inconsistent. And I don't think he's 100% mature off the ice as far as his dedication to fitness. And that's now they're gambling on him, on Vertanen taking that
Vancouver
step.
The market is reading this as you chose Vertanen over Toffoli.
Right.
And that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
All right, JD, here's your big moment, buddy. The Mahler is, he's in my ear. He said, you've got to give Duffy a chance to plug his book, The Grappler.
Can you just call him The Mahler?
Of course I did. Now, that's his new name.
Yeah, right. The Mahler.
So, yes, next week, a week from tomorrow, the book Beauties comes out, Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories, featuring two members of the Overdrive regular team. I did not get a story from Brian Hayes, and with his star exploding with his performance on the Free Agent Frenzy for good reason, that was a mistake. That was a mistake on my part. There should have been a Barry Jr. hockey story in
I
the
had
book
one or
from
two.
Hayes. But it's just a collection of stories. Basically, I asked like 57 guys, tell me your favorite hockey story. Because that's one thing when you get together with hockey players, that's what people want to know. Hey, if you're over having a bunch of beers with Sidney Crosby or something, tell me your favorite story. And it's got awesome ones from Noodles and No Dog and most of the guys we work with, but also Crosby and McDavid and Bobby Orr and Gretzky and some of the great storytellers in the game. And we decided instead of doing an audio book to make a podcast that would go along with it. Now, I'm not telling all the stories in the book and the podcast because then why would anybody buy the damn book, right? But it's some of the stories from the book and some of the ones I left out, and that actually is up on iTunes tomorrow. Beauties, the podcast. So I'm pretty pumped. I think the people that listen to your station will like it because it's a lot of the stuff that the kind of stuff that you guys do. It's just really fun hockey stories that you often can't tell on television.
Well, it's going to be awesome, buddy. It's not your first rodeo. You've been authoring many, many books in the past, and this is going to be...
Many, many leather-bound books.
Absolutely. thank you for doing this, as always, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Oh, well, thanks. Tell the Mahler thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I will. The Mahler.
Nobody's available on Thanksgiving Mondays more than Jimmy here when he's got something to plug.
We'll always bother you. You know it. Thank you for accepting the invitation.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
James Duffy, our TSN Hockey host and analyst and podcast host and author, everything here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It is Maple Toyota's birthdays and the birthday, and they're giving you the gifts this month. Buy any new vehicle and receive a free gift. Red Tag savings continue with rates from 0%.